Well, folks in Kansas City, it's probably fair to say, don't often consider their ties to Amarillo, Texas. And the reverse is also probably true. But it turns out there are some profound ties between the two cities as the result of a train connection that brought cattle and cowboys to Kansas City and canned and dry goods, chemicals, furniture, and high fashion back to Amarillo. The Kansas City Public Library tonight is taking a look at this connection and more specifically how Kansas City reshaped Amarillo culture and the lasting connections between the two cities. Joining me now is Michael Grauer. He's an associate director for curatorial affairs and the curator of art and Western heritage for the Panhandle Plains Historical Museum near Amarillo. And he's a KCK native to boot. And Michael, so good to have you here. Welcome back to Kansas City.
Much obliged.
Well, explain this historical connection between Kansas City and Amarillo because it goes back so many years here.
It actually goes back into the early part of the 19th century with the Santa Fe Trail bringing goods and services out to trade with Comanches and also the people into Santa Fe. And there was a trickle down into what's now the Texas Panhandle proper. And that eventually moves into the buffalo hide trade, where Kansas City was central to that. And then, of course, when it's open for cattle ranching by the mid-1870s, and the railroads from both Fort Worth and also from Kansas City reach Amarillo by about 1889.
Hmm.
And after that, cattle receipts at the stockyards jump by almost a million cattle a year.
No kidding. Yep. But prior to that, it was the Santa Fe Trail gets down that way.
Correct. Yes,
okay.
Sir.
Does anybody in Amarillo understand this tie to Kansas City? Because, you know, folks up here certainly aren't thinking much about Amarillo these days.
Well, that's certainly true. And my colleague and I, Dr. Amy Von Lentil, and I lead walking tours of downtown Amarillo, especially focusing on architecture. And two of the prominent architects in Kansas City actually came to Amarillo and made quite a living. In fact, Albert Weiser, who's one of the group, a part of the group Shepherd, Farrar, and Weiser, officed in Amarillo for a while, built several of the prominent office buildings as well as private homes, beginning as early as 1912.
And does it look like Kansas City somehow?
It actually does, and I've spent a lot of time hoofing it around town the last couple of days, and it's uncanny, the connections, especially architecturally, to, and obviously Amarillo is not nearly as big, it's about 200,000 people, but the connections are quite strong, both in Art Deco architecture and also some of the revival styles that you have here in town still.
And maybe I'm catching you cold because you haven't been back here in town that long, but what part of town here reminds you of some of the architecture you see in Amarillo?
Anything along Baltimore, anything along Wyandotte. I walked over to Oak.
What block numbers are you
about
talking about?
About 1,200 block down to about 1,900 block.
Okay,
yep.
So downtown.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I've been craning my neck the whole time because I'm not used to these kind of tall buildings, that's for sure.
So why did the train, you mentioned in the late 1880s, the train connection gets made. Mm-hmm. Why did the train run from here to Amarillo? Was it because of the Santa Fe Trail?
The Santa Fe Railway follows the route roughly of the Santa Fe Trail. And then when it gets to Dodge City in the mid-70s, they want to drop down into the southwest and then on into Santa Fe, but they have to cut across the Panhandle using roughly what used to be known as the Cimarron cutoff of the Santa Fe Trail, which saves some miles.
Hmm.
Anyway, they drop down, but because of Texas railroad law, it could not have a railroad owned by an outside entity. So they opened an office called the Southern Kansas Railway of Texas, officed in Amarillo, ultimately. And so they hooked into Amarillo, certainly by 89, and it was flowing fast by 1890.
How long of a train ride was it back in those days from Kansas City down to Amarillo?
Well, it's roughly about 570 miles, and they would roll anywhere from 15 to 20 miles an hour. And,
wow.
Of course, they're picking up, it's a cattle train, they're picking up cattle all along the route. So it took a long time, and cowboys would ride with them in the caboose and take care of their particular cattle cars, or their particular cattle herds that they were taking to Kansas City.
So this was quite a train trip.
It was a big deal, and for cowboys to come to Kansas City, it was a big deal, and it was a great honor because, you know, those cowboys rode for the brand. They didn't own the cattle themselves, and so, you know, you're taking care of somebody else's cows, and you want to make sure they get where they're supposed to, like the old trail drives. It's just a different kind of trail.
And so what did those Amarillo cowboys bring up here to Kansas City? What was their contribution to our culture here?
We're gonna talk about that tonight. Here's, you know, one of the things is certainly by 1890, there's this mythology about what a cowboy really was. Mm-hmm. And when they get
even by then, 1890, there's already mythology.
Absolutely, certainly, and it falls at the feet of the popular writers of the time. You know, they're always with guns blazing, they're always doing this and they're always doing that, and that's just a bunch of nonsense. They didn't do that. You know,
oh, come on, you're ruining everybody's image.
I realize that, and we even have in our collection a ribbon from Kansas City and that's the nice thing about this exhibition that we're going to talk about tonight, is that we did a search in our collection through our database and found about 360 objects in our collection that relate directly to Kansas City, the Stockyards, and the American Royal. Mm-hmm. We have trophies from the American Royal, for example, from 1906.
So what else did you all bring up here? What would we recognize from Amarillo? What was the influence?
Well, you know, everybody wanted what the cowboys brought to them, but they didn't necessarily want the cowboys because they believed the mythology that they were going to be hard to deal with and they were dishonest, which is just a bunch of nonsense. They were honest mm-hmm. men who rode for the brand. And so this shoot 'em up Kansas City ribbon we have in our collection actually shows a cowboy with hand cannons pretty much in his hands, and he's shooting up the town. Well, that's crazy. You know, yeah. it was an honor to ride with your cattle cars to Kansas City and make sure the deals were done right. But the next thing was, like my colleague Dr. Von Lentzel talks about, cowboys go shopping. Mm-hmm. You know, and right down the street from the Livestock Exchange is Mr. Shipley's Saddle Shop, where you get all re-geared up. Askew Saddle Shop, same thing. And it was a badge of honor to have a Shipley or an Askew saddle, for example.
No kidding.
And so that whole cowboy culture, which they have their own culture, obviously, and how they do things, how they talk, how they approach things. A lot of people didn't like it because they were real direct. They couldn't fool around on things. You know, there's no hesitation if you were a cowboy because you'd get killed.
That's interesting. Yeah. Did you walk around down our West Bottoms and
I
see some of those places?
I did down there. In fact, I had to go touch the buildings just to feel those cowboys. You know,
no kidding.
Yes, sir.
Well, and Kansas City's influence on Amarillo and what people took back down to Texas, it touched everything from education, architecture, and art. Tell us about some of that. What stands out in your mind as you review all that stuff?
Well, first of all, Amarillo sits right in the middle of the Llano Estacado, which is an elevated plain. We're at 4,000 feet, so we're much higher than the rest of Texas. Plus, our population came from the Midwest and also the Old South, so there's that combination. And it's quite a bit different from downstate Texas, you know, San Antonio, Dallas, and Fort Worth. And so the people always thought looking northeast rather mm-hmm. than southeast. And Kansas City it was like the shining city on the hill. Mm-hmm. It was the epitome to people down there that was the place to go. You went there for medical care. For example, one of our famous cattlemen, Charles Goodnight, had a Kansas City doctor save his life and had a piece of furniture made for a doctor in Kansas City. And we think it's still here somewhere in town. A giant hall tree about 12 feet tall made of buffalo horns.
Yeah, and that just worked.
Yes, sir. It sure did. And education, too. We had several cattlemen who were down there that just said, there are no schools here. I have a big family. Pulled up stakes and operated their ranches from Kansas City as the home base.
Huh.
Three different major ranches.
How about education?
Same thing. You know, the schools were here. And Kansas City, again, was the example that everybody wanted to follow down there rather than Dallas, Fort Worth, or San Antonio.
Okay. What about, I even read about chemicals.
Yeah.
What kind of chemicals?
One of the partnerships on the ranch called the RO, or the Roe Ranch, was founded by three British brothers, two of whom ran a chemical company here in Kansas City. And that eventually segues especially into veterinary supplies, because remember, this is a time for Texas fever, blackleg, and other diseases that cattle had. And Kansas City was the main supply point for all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was just amazing. Every page we turn, we find another connection. It's just astonishing.
And what about furniture?
Some of the prominent homes that were built in Amarillo were supplied with furniture houses here in Kansas City. We actually have a couch that was actually in a buffalo hunter's camp that came from a Kansas City furniture store, and adobe walls, which was sort of a famous battle in the Indian Wars. It had fine china from Kansas City china dealers, believe it or not.
Wow.
You know, and out there on the edge of the frontier.
Michael Grauer will be speaking this evening at 6:30 at the Central Branch of the Kansas City, Missouri Public Library. It's at 14 West 10th Street. The event, Cattle, Cowboys, and Culture, Kansas City to Amarillo, Making an Urban West. You know, do people, you know, down there still sort of think a lot about Kansas City? Are you getting, is there an attempt to reconnect the two towns?
They do indeed, and especially the cattlemen who are still down there still think very highly of the American Royal. As a matter of fact, I talked to one of our prominent cattlemen a couple months ago, And I asked him what he thinks of the Royal, and he said, you know, Michael, when I was a kid growing up in western Kansas, before he moved down into the Panhandle proper, he said, I remember taking a cattle car of a load of steers to Kansas City and going to the Royal. And he said, we couldn't afford to stay at the Hotel Savoy, but we stayed at another smaller place, like a Drover's Hotel or whatever. And you could still see him. I mean, this man's 87 years old today.
No,
so that's
kidding.
A 70-year-old story. And still, the Royal is part of that city on the hill.
Tell me more. What was it considered an especially prized possession that would have made its way from Kansas City back down there? You mentioned the saddles. What else would people say? Hey, I got this up in Kansas City.
Well, remember that you know, you're never considered a philosopher in your own country. Remember, nothing good ever came out of Nazareth, right?
Yeah.
So anything that came from an outside source, especially a place that was so admired like Kansas City, that was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So having furniture, owning clothing. Fashions, as it says, as you read earlier, that was a kind of a big deal because, I mean, yeah, we had stores, of course, and we had saddle makers too, and boot makers and so on. But again, you're a philosopher. You're not a philosopher in your own country.
Yeah. So Amarillo today is, you said, 200,000 people?
About 200,000, yes, sir.
And today, this metro area far bigger than that. And do people get up this way from down there in any regularity?
You know, when I told people I was coming up to give a talk in Kansas City to a person, everybody said, "Well, I want to go."
Really?
So everybody wants to come because they know that this is a special place. And I will tell you, not having been here in 25 years, my hometown looks awful different. Because you couldn't even go downtown back when I was here. I mean, it was a dangerous place, and it's vibrant and alive and growing, and it's just spectacular.
Michael Grauer is an associate director for curatorial affairs and the curator of art and Western heritage for the Panhandle Plains Historical Museum down near Amarillo. Again, he speaks tonight at 6:30 at the Central Branch of the Kansas City Public Library, 14 West 10th Street. More information and RSVP, kclibrary.org. What a pleasure to have you.
Much
really
obliged,
enjoyed
sir.
It.
Appreciate
okay.
y'all.